Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang. Today, my guest is Kenneth Copeland, the well-known televangelist who I've actually known since the 1970s. I did a cover story on him in Charisma Magazine in 1979, and the article said that he was a young evangelist, 44 years old. He was on the radio back then and was having enormous success, which is why I did the article. And I have been so influenced by him over the years. And as time passes, I've had opportunity to interact with him in various ways. And he's always been such a blessing. Recently, I interviewed him and we were talking about a number of things. I was actually including some of his remarks in my cover story for the November issue of Charisma Magazine. And as he was talking about the nation and all, I said, this is really good stuff. I would love to get you in the studio and have you talk about it on a podcast, which we will then put as an article and a newsletter online as well. So I didn't get him in the studio, although I came into the studio. We talked by telephone. And I think that you'll be fascinated with Kenneth Copeland's perspective on what God is doing in our nation about the judges and the importance of the judges, and also some insights into Donald Trump and his openness to spiritual counsel. Here's my interview with Kenneth Copeland. Brother Copeland, there was a very interesting dinner. In fact, it was called a state dinner at the White House. And I heard that you and your lovely wife, Gloria, were invited. Tell us about it.
Well, Stephen, this was the meeting, a dinner for the original spiritual council for Mr. Trump that was organized back actually before the election. And he really had James Robinson help him put that together before even the nominations were finished, the primaries. First time in the history of this nation that anything like this was ever done. The name of the dinner was Celebration of Evangelical Leadership. It was a state dinner hosted by the First Lady. And I was, I noticed when we got the invitation and when I heard about it and so forth, I noticed there was no program or anything about, you know, who was going to be speaking or anything. And very first thing, I mean, the president said, I want to hear from you. He said, I want a number of you to just come up and take this microphone. And I want to hear your heart. I want to hear what you have to say. And then, Stephen, I think he realized he had a room full of preachers. He said, now, don't take too long. And everybody just hee-hawed, you know. But, oh, I'm telling you, the anointing was there. It was like being in a really anointed church service. And just the flow and the Spirit of God was just all over that. Now, Stephen, the thing that I see that is so pertinent, so important right now in the spiritual realm is this president is doing things being led by the Spirit of God, inviting us, I'm talking about us, I'm talking about ministers of the gospel, inviting us to come in and hear from us. It was amazing. And the fact that he's that open to counsel. Someone asked him not too long ago, and I apologize for not remembering who it was that asked him this. What do you want to be remembered for? He said, I want to be remembered as the president that prayed more than any other.
Wow. Because that's not the stereotype we see in the press. In fact, the press likes to play up everything in his past that was sort of irreligious. And it's like Robert Jeffress, who I know you know, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas,
sure,
said that Donald Trump may not be the most religious president we've ever had, but he's certainly the most pro-religion because he's really become a champion of what you and I would call Christian causes. The media would call them conservative religious causes or something, you know, but everything from persecuted church overseas to losing our religious liberties here in terms of free speech. Of course, appointing the kinds of judges to the Supreme Court that we think are very important. Just talk to me about that, because you have had a lot of interaction with Donald Trump going back even before the primaries, as you just mentioned.
Well, I think we need to jump right into this and look at one of the primary purposes for his being in office. Thinking that Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in for president, there's still over 140 federal judgeships open.
Wow.
That he is filling just as fast as he can. Of course, the Democrats have done their best to just slugger the thing. But you can't stop this. Now, listen to this from the book of Isaiah, the very first chapter. And God said, "Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies." Okay, now how are you going to do that, Father? "I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy pen or your alloys. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city."
Wow.
It's the judges. It's the judges. Presidents, senators, the House of Representatives, all of Congress, they are all, of course, they affect us, but not like judges do. And right now, the judge seats that have been such a pain to righteous ruling and just come out against everything that is positive where the Word of God is concerned. A bunch of those districts are up right now for replacement.
Wow.
This is the biggest thing that's happened to this country in a long time.
Well, recently I was at one of your meetings, and you talked about a lot of things, and you started to talk about Donald Trump, about our country, about where it's headed. Of course, over the last 40, 50, 60 years, it's been moving farther to the left, more and more liberal, same-sex marriage. I mean, who would have imagined that back when we were teenagers, let's say? I'd never heard of such a thing. Yet now it's the law of the land. So much is happening. And then it looked like there was just a steady march of things getting worse and worse and worse. And you mentioned even Hillary Clinton coming in. You know, if she'd been in, you just wonder how bad things would have gotten. And then God kind of raised up this very unlikely person who none of us expected. I mean, 10 years ago, did you expect? I certainly didn't. I would have laughed if somebody had told me. But just talk to me about some of the things that you said that day and have also said to me in private conversation, which actually is what sparked me to think that this would make an interesting podcast and article online.
Well, let's go back to something you said. Talking about same-sex marriage and all that, and you said now it's the law of the land. No, it isn't. It's never been made a law. There were some judges that put it in force. The same way with abortion. It has never been the law of the land. It has never been the will of the people. See how judges affect this whole thing? And
but it's legal now. That I guess that was the point.
Yeah, it's legal, but it's never been made a law. So I think that's the reason why God said what he did about the judges. Because you've got to straighten the judges out. If you get the right kind of judges in there, man, I'm telling you. And that's what the left is so afraid of him for and about, is because of the judges. What he does over the next four years is one thing, but my goodness, you can change the landscape of this nation for a long, long time if you straighten all these judges out. Now, let me tell you something else about him, Stephen. I thought it was very, very interesting. Paula White. Paula has been very close to the Trump family for a little over 18 years. Those who don't know Paula, she's a very successful pastor. And Gloria and I go back with Paula back in the days of the Church Without Walls. And anyway, we've just known her for years, and my goodness, what a dedicated, powerful woman of God she really is. And he came to her back before when he was thinking about running for president. And now listen to this. This is the Donald Trump people don't know anything about. He said, "Paula, get me some preachers together. I need to pray about whether or not to run for president." Steve, they prayed for over 6 hours. Just stayed on their knees and stayed before God for over 6 hours. They got to the end of that. He said, Paula, what do you think? She said, well, Mr. Cook, I don't believe it's time. He said, no, I don't either. He said, for some reason, I just don't feel like the American people are ready for this. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm not ready for it. But the point is, the man absolutely would not even approach it without calling Paula, his spiritual advisor, to get me some preachers together. Now, Steve, that's the way he thinks.
That's right. And I told that story, Paula told me, in my book, Guide on Donald Trump. And I knew Paula back in that era, too, back in Tampa, back in the 1990s. And she told me over dinner one time that her secretary came in at the ministry and said, you won't believe who's on the phone. And she said, who? And she said, it's that celebrity businessman, Donald Trump. And so Paula, you know, took the call, of course, and was shocked that he said that he watched her program and he had a few questions about God. And so I remember her telling us, so I knew that story was true. And then the way she recounted it to me is she said, I want you to call some preachers together. I don't ask for their support. And I want preachers who really know how to pray. And I didn't
know how to pray.
Yeah. And 6 hours, that's a pretty intense prayer meeting. But
isn't that something? What we can take from this, Stephen, is that it's so important to me and to you and to everyone else that has any kind of spiritual aptitude about him at all. This is the way this man thinks. He doesn't go into any serious decision without calling people in that know how to pray. And this is still going on in the White House today. I'm telling you, I'm encouraged to the maximum over him. Now, this is, let's take up something we can draw from this. Number one, I'm not worried about this country. Now, I didn't say I don't pray about it. I didn't say that I don't pray every day for my president and every day for the Congress and every day for my partners. I do. I do that. But I don't pray worried prayers. I'm not worried. I pray in faith, and the God of heaven and earth is not going to allow the state of Israel to be destroyed, because his word says once they come back, they will never go down again. I'm not worried about the state of Israel. I pray every day for them. I pray every day for Mr. Netanyahu, right along with Mr. Trump. But if you can see where I'm coming from and where I'm going here, I'm not worried about this. But I do take responsibility and exercise my faith, and I vote, and I stand on the Word of God. Now, if things don't go the way I think they should, praise God, that doesn't change me a bit. I just stay right in there because God didn't raise this country up for it to go down the drain. Now, I know, at least I believe I know, how close this country came. But, Stephen, that's why Donald J. Trump is in there.
People were desperate. And who could have been as strong as him for all these attacks? I mean, it's just every day it seems like there's something new.
And that's where our intercession comes in. But we have to come to the place where we know that God's not through with this United States, and it's not done till he's done. And we're still the most gospel-preaching nation on the face of the earth and the most gospel-preaching nation ever in the history of the earth. So I go before all these elections and everything. Man, I'm telling you, I go in joy. I go in joy because I know. I read the back of the book, Stephen. We win.
That's great. That's a great point. It's absolutely right.
But if you get worried, you pray a prayer that's based in fear, and that doesn't work. All worry is fear-based. So what do? Well, prayer does not make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. So you pray in faith. Lord, I know this thing's in trouble. It's been in trouble ever since I've been old enough to vote. But I do know this, that you are the one that has this entire earth going headlong towards a very definite moment in time. That moment in time is the catching away of the Church of Jesus Christ. We know from the Word of God we're looking at 7,000 years. We also know from the Word of God it is very plain. 6,000 have come and gone. I mean, come on, man. And we're right down here in this final little sliver of time of grace. We're right there. And the most important two nations on the face of the earth are the United States and the state of Israel. Glory to God.
Glory to God. And I think that's a good place to end. And could I ask you, Brother Copeland, would you close with prayer for our country and for President Trump?
Oh, Father, we thank you for this nation. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for the man that you picked and have anointed him and put him into this office. And we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that these are the most wonderful days in the history of this planet. And we're right in the middle of the most wonderful, the most powerful outpouring of your word throughout this whole planet that this place has ever seen. And we thank you that we're privileged and honored that Charisma Magazine, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church, and all the other churches and publications and all that are looking so forward to your return. We are so grateful to you that we've been honored to be right in the middle of all this. And we believe and we thank you that all is well in the household of faith. Thank you, sir. Now I pray for my president, for the wisdom of God. I pray for the protection of his physical being and surround him with faith thoughts and love thoughts and Word of God thoughts. And finally, we thank you for changing the judges. We praise you for these upcoming elections. Ha ha! It will be according to thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I know you enjoyed that podcast. Thank you for staying tuned this long. I'm back in the studio by myself. And I just wanted to conclude by reminding you of my new book called Trump Aftershock. Each day as I do a podcast and a newsletter, I'm reminding my listeners, trying to get interest building in this book, which is actually a sequel to God and Donald Trump. I actually interviewed Kenneth Copeland for God and Donald Trump, did not interview him for this new one, but he has such an interesting perspective that in a way I kind of wish that I had included it. Anyway, the book is coming out on Election Day. You can order it in advance, several different places, Barnes & Noble online, Amazon.com, of course, also from our own website, which is www.TrumpAftershock.com. That's the name of the book.com. And there's all kinds of neat stuff. There's a trailer. There's some free downloads of chapters that you can get. And you can also, if you want to, you can order the book there as well. So I'll conclude with that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back tomorrow. We have a number of very interesting podcasts lined up. We're actually doing one a day. I don't know if you've noticed that. But just building listenership and also building excitement about this new book. So thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.